Hello, it's Ian Woods in London, and once again, Neil White has left the British weather behind and is somewhere hot and sunny. Is it?
I wouldn't say it's hot and sunny, but I am in San Sebastian, which is Basque country in the very north of Spain. And, it's at Pedrena, it was sort of misty. The weather has been a bit hit and miss, but it's been a darn sight better than it's been back in the UK.
And what we have to say about this is that the golf pilgrim was not so much reviewing courses as going on a pilgrimage himself.
Yeah, well, I was. I was going to the Royal. I was going to the Real Golf de Pedreña. I'm sure it's nothing like the pronunciation, but this is the home of Sebi Ballesteros. He had a house directly opposite the course, and I fell in love with golf in the mid-1970s because Sebi changed golf, didn't he? He was the swashbuckling Spaniard that made the game so thrilling. I played at Lytham with you, actually, Royal Lytham, where he won the Open after playing that incredible shot out of the car park. And they have a wonderful exhibition to him there. And this is where he played. This is where his son is still employed. There is a memorial to him outside of his house, which is just outside the course. And he, after a few years of not getting into Pedrena, because it's a little bit snooty, and Sebi came from poorer stock, but he finally got into the club and helped make a few changes there as well.
If you ever get a chance to watch the documentary or movie about Sebi's life, that's really reflected in that, and his attempts to sort of, you know, sneak into the course when everyone had gone home so that he could practice with his famous four iron.
Well, it was three iron, actually. Anyway, the movie moved me to tears, I have to say, because, of course, it was a very sad finale with Sebi. He died too young. That whole scene that we saw the beach where he played with, it was a head of a three iron with a bit of old stick, and people wondered at the sort of shots that he played during his career while they were carved out there. And when he got to Pedrena, he actually got a bit of a chance to be a caddy, and he and the other caddies used to hide in a cave, which is still there, by the 18th tee. So when all the members had gone, they could then burst out on the course and play it, because even caddies weren't allowed to play at that time. So there's loads of stories about Sebi. I mean, look, there's homage to him on the course in the fact that they now have azaleas behind some of the holes, the 6th and the 18th particularly. And, of course, they're the azaleas that make it look a little bit like Augusta, where Sebi won the Masters twice. He is there for every step of the round, and it was utter privilege to be there.
And I presume you played exactly like Sebi did.
I played some shots like Sebi, the ones that went sideways. But the problem is I didn't have Sebi's flair to resuscitate my round. Actually, look, Pedrena is not a long course, so I didn't hit the ball badly. I had a fair round. But the one thing that you have to bear in mind, and this was in March, that the greens were absolutely like glass. I don't think in recent times, even in the middle of summer, I've played on any faster greens than this. They were totally, totally manicured. And the whole place is manicured. This is a joint that, if you go through the gates, we went through at 8 o'clock in the morning, hardly anybody there at that time, misty morning. But as soon as you go through the gate, you realise you're in a very, very special environment. This is an exclusive club, and the hedges are manicured to within an inch of their life. Even the pitch and putt down by the practice area looks absolutely pristine. Everything, the fairways are spectacular. The bunkers are super white. Quartz, I was told. They've not even got sand in them. I'm told it's refined quartz. Do you believe that? I don't know. Looked absolutely stunning. And the course, I'm trying to think of what you compare it with in the UK, but it isn't a million miles from Queenwood, which is probably England's most exclusive course.
So how did you get on it then? Because we shouldn't be encouraging people to simply turn up at the gates and expect to get in, and there's no online booking or anything like that, is there? How did you manage to get your round sorted?
Well, the Golf Pilgrim gig has actually gained me a few contacts here and there. And unfortunately, through a contact, we were able to get an invitation to play on there. And, you know, we got around for €80. I was told that visitors are welcome if they give the club a course to try and arrange a game on either a Monday or Tuesday. And I have since spoken to quite a few people who have done the pilgrimage and played there. So it's not like it's impossible. So when I referred to Queenwood earlier on, Queenwood is a very difficult course to get on. And that is seen as the golden fleece by those chasing the top 100 in England. Whereas Pedrenia, when I posted about it on social media that I was there, quite a few people said they played it. So it is possible to play, but I think you have to make arrangements well in advance. Maybe write a letter. I mean, to the course, or send them an email and see how they respond. But I was also told that that is only possible on a Monday or Tuesday, although we ended up playing on a Friday. But there you go. That's another story. We were very fortunate to get on there, and I felt a sense of place with Pedrenia because of Seve.
And despite the fact that it's got this very exclusive reputation, the members were friendly, which was just as well, because you were a bit careless, weren't you?
One of the things I don't get about exclusive courses, and let's have this discussion, why do they give you the naffest trolleys ever? So if you don't have an electric trolley, and I like pushing just a normal trolley around the course, then it didn't even have any straps on or anything. So the consequence was that almost every other hole, if not every hole, my bag flew off said trolley. And at one point, it flew off apparently and left my phone behind. So the members came up to us. I think we're on the third hole. So it had gone down on the first or the second hole and said there were people behind that had my phone. And it was obviously the talk of the town. I don't speak any Spanish, but these people there, they were pretty damn good with their English, so they made it clear that we were most welcome on the course. They all had a bit of a laugh about my potty trolley and my ridiculous phone a loss, but they were absolutely lovely. Yeah,
if you've got an iPhone, you've got that Find My iPhone feature, and I've been on a golf course with someone who lost their phone and was able to identify roughly where it was on the course and set off trying to find it, but it's actually quite difficult to find a phone when you're following a map, especially if somebody then picks it up and starts heading back to the clubhouse with it, thinking they're doing you a good turn. But
the worst thing of losing a phone abroad is that you're likely to have your air tickets on it, isn't it? So my phone's got everything on it. It would have been an absolute calamity. So every detail's there, but particularly my flights home, the tickets for my flights home were on my phone. So I don't know what I would have done. It would have been a disaster. But anyway, it was not a disaster. And the day continued. It was just rather lovely.
So what were the holes that you would particularly sort of pick out as being the most memorable?
Well, the first hole is a fairly straightforward one. It's a par four. It gives you a chance. There are a lot of trees at Pedrenia. So the trees on the right and left. And there's a lot of false fronts as well. So I would have reached the middle of the green, but for the false front, and there are a fair few bunkers around too. But that's a fairly comfortable opener. The second hole is a par three, which is just stupendous in my view. So it curves round from left to right, with a big bunker that we were told there are two bunkers on the course that look, one looks like an S and one looks like a B for Seve Ballesteros, and the B is on the second hole, and so the hole sort of twists round, but there's also water on the right. And we were told about one of the famous members, that rather rich person, that was a bit mean with his golf ball purchases and actually dug around in the pond for so long that he then fell into the pond chasing his really, really naff ball, apparently. It's a cracking hole. Normally speaking, it's on a misty day. Normally speaking, you'd be able to look out towards Santander as well. So, absolutely super, that one. Early on in the round, I thought the sixth was great because, there's bunkers all around, a par four, bunkers all in front, but behind is a little bit of a slope up to the azaleas, and that is apparently a mark to Seve, which, it all needs to be said there. And the eighth is, well, this is obviously we're sticking to the front nine so far. The seventh is a cracking par three again, which steeply falls off to the left-hand side. And then the eighth is a blistering hole, a par four, which bends around from left to right. And then you have to go over part of the estuary, really, the Cuba's estuary. Behind the hole, you can see out to sea. And the estuary that comes in around Santander. And this green is perched just in front of that vista, but also with the most enormous bunker on the right-hand side, which I presume reminded Seve of when he was playing with his 3-iron on the beach, because it's absolutely huge. And yes, of course, I went in it. And I've managed to get out of it first time, actually. So I was quite pleased with that. But, terrific, terrific hole.
So on to the back nine. And what have you got to tell us about that?
Well, the holes keep coming. There's loads of great holes. But I suppose my favourites were the 15th is a par three, which is 220 yards. And believe it or not, I suppose if I was to pick a champagne moment of the day, it would have been that because I hit driver, I had to hit driver. The ball wasn't running. I zipped it down the left-hand side because it's on a slope from left to right. And the ball arrived and held, unbelievably, on the middle of the green, which I was just absolutely thrilled about. The 17th is a belting hole. It's there's quite a lot of elevation at Pedreña, and the 17th is a hole. The drive it's a very narrow thoroughfare to go down to the fairway, which goes extreme to the right. You can go over the top, which our playing partner did and successfully did. So I guess the professionals would do that over the cops. But Mrs. W and I went for the middle of the fairway and found it. But again, messed up because we didn't take into account those false fronts. And then there was the 18th.
But before we get to the 18th, because that has a story behind it, and I just wanted to save that for a moment and have people licking their lips in anticipation at what might befall you on the 18th. But I'm just looking at their website, and founded in 1928. Some lovely old photographs of the history of the course, and our old friend Harry Colt is on there as well.
You know what? I didn't know until after the round that it was designed by Colt. I don't know why, but obviously I read up afterwards. And therefore, I would have looked. I'm sure they're there for the familiar Colt diagonal bunker arrangements, which are absolutely a signature. And there's so many bunkers on Pedreña that it's bound to be. You sort of thought afterwards, oh, yeah, of course, it's a Colt course. You can see it. I'm told that Seve has had a bit of creativity with the bunkers. He certainly designed the par three course, and the par three course, I think it comprised only of seven holes, but is to the same standard as the main course itself. And Seve was very keen to enable juniors to play because, of course, he hadn't been allowed to play when he was a junior. And so there is a pitch and putt. There's a par three course. There's fantastic practice facilities, great chipping area, and great practice a driving range there. So superb practice facilities. And Seve had a lot to do with that. But I'm also told that he had to do with the creativity of the bunkers, although obviously that's a cultism as well.
Anyway, the band are now warming up to play the clown music, so take it away, Neil.
Well, I think I'll let Mrs. W describe it before I have my say.
Oh, dear. It was absolutely hilarious. So I'm standing there on the green, watching you off the green, ready to take your putt. And you took your putt, and you seemed to be very happy, and then all of a sudden, it slid back down. But no, you got another chance, so you hit your putt again, and it slid back down again. Well, really, it can't happen a third time. Surely I'm standing there thinking it can't happen a third time. Oh, yep, it did. It happened a third time. But the hilarious part of it all was that you were actually blaming the green and not your putting ability.
So she watched it from the back of the hole. I can tell you that it wasn't any better from the front of the hole. I thought, if I'm going to be frank, I thought that the greens at Pedrena were a little bit too tricked up. And I would say that, wouldn't I? But that first shot that I made on 18 wasn't a bad putt. It was going towards the hole. It couldn't have been much more than about 4 foot short. It didn't seem to me, or 5 foot short, and then it arrived back at my feet. If I'd hit it any harder, I think I would have been 20 feet, maybe more past it. And it's because of the nature of the slope. So it went up and then down did the slope. And I think that wasn't untypical of the holes at Pedrena. You just couldn't get near the hole. And so I don't know whether that is because we're not used to it at this time of year. We haven't played on any greens like it. We played on quite a lot of London, decent London courses lately, haven't we? And the greens have been relatively slow. But this was so speedy. But it reminded me a little bit, I guess, that disaster on 18 reminded me a little bit of the occasion at Port Rush when I played my first round at Port Rush, and it wasn't a putt, but I chipped out of the hole, of the bunker on the first hole at Port Rush, and was merrily raking the hole after thinking I'd done a really good chip, only to find the ball back at my feet because the slope was that dramatic on that hole, and there's a few on Port Rush like that. But I just wonder whether the greens were a little bit tricked up too much.
So I hope I didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth and you enjoyed Pedrena overall and you'd encourage other people to visit.
I think it's a fantastic place. We had a lovely lunch afterwards. Again, we were made to feel very welcome. It's got a great pro shop, by the way. It doesn't do Seve as much as we thought. So there is a Seve room, which... With a montage and a list of his championships and so on. But I thought it would be overwhelming, and it wasn't. And I wondered about that. So I don't know why that was the case. And I thought that actually at Lytham, if you remember it, up the stairs at Lytham, the great portrait of Seve's there, and I thought they probably celebrated him more. When we went outside of his house, there's the sculpture to him, and I know you've commented on that sculpture. It's not the most flattering sculpture, it has to be said.
Yeah, it reminds me of that Cristiano Ronaldo one that everyone took the mickey out of, and there's been talk lately about this Harry Kane one, which is looking for a home, but I'm not sure if I was Harry Kane I'd want to see it in public, but anyway.
It sort of captured the spirit of Seve, if not the face, perhaps. I was surprised because it's life size that he wasn't a big fella. I'd imagine him to be taller, but he's certainly, I guess, about 5'9" is the size of the sculpture. And then next to him is a Swalken Bridge, a version of the Swalken Bridge, which apparently the stones came from St Andrews. So I don't know, again, how true that story is, but there's certainly behind him a sort of photographic montage of St Andrews, which clearly was his favourite course. So, yeah, look, going to Pedrena, it's a great course. The condition of it is stunning, but you're there for Seve, and, yeah, it was Gold Pilgrim did a Gold Pilgrimage, and I was delighted to have done so.
Okay, well, we're not TripAdvisor, but say a few words about San Sebastian, because people do like to see the area as well as the golf course they're playing.
San Sebastian is a beautiful city. It really is. And we flew into San Sebastian. It's a tiny little airport, and you can go through it in next to no time and realise that you're not going to lose your cases either, because you've almost got the place to yourself. The town, the city is gorgeous. We went on a guru walk, a free walking tour around there, which you end up paying what you think it's worth. Well, we paid a decent whack because we thought it was great. And we ate the pintsos. And pintsos are their very individual version of tapas. And if you look at John Rahm's menu for the Masters that's coming up, the pintsos are on there. So there you go. So we had a great time in San Sebastian, and I heartily recommend it.
Tasty. That's all for this week. Adios.
And see you on the next tea.